This podcast is paid for by Principal. No matter who you are or where you are in life, with the right financial partner, progress is possible. Welcome to Defining Moments. My name is Justin Warner. Today we're going to talk to Wilda Byron. This is a woman known for traveling to remote, often very dangerous locations and photographing the people who live there. For Wilda, this is a hobby. And it's one that's going pretty well for her until one fateful trip when she realized she might be in over her head.
Just so you know, I've never spoken about this, so it's very fresh.
That's even better.
They're not like developed thoughts.
That's good. Can you just introduce yourself, kind of say what you do, where you live?
Okay, so my name is Wilda Byron, and I am from Puerto Rico. I'm a cinematographer here in New York City.
You're from Puerto Rico?
That's right.
What was Puerto Rico like growing up? What was your family and childhood like?
It was beautiful. I had a great, healthy family, very supportive. My mom really supportive who I was, and I know who I am and what I have to offer, and it doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the three-dimensionality of myself.
When you meet Wilda, it's obvious she's not very self-absorbed. She might as well have like a blinking recording light because she's observing and observing with such intent.
I realized early on that I saw differently. I don't know if professionally, when I was around 14 years old, where I would just start doing drawings in my school class. And even the teachers were like, don't worry about the schoolwork, just keep doing your drawings. So I was like, this is interesting. I have something that people appreciate. So that allowed me to always choose the creative path as much as I could.
In fact, Wilda was able to carve her life out in the creative industries working as a cinematographer. But her real jam is photography.
I've been very fortunate that I was able to sort of make a life where I could work around 6 months. And then for 6 months, I would just take off backpacking with my backpack that I've had for 10 years and just explore.
You travel a lot, I take it.
Yeah, I've spent the last 10 years trying to go to remote areas where there's great tribal culture activity that's still preserved. And some people, go to Africa and they're trying to like take this amazing photo of a lion or this amazing photo of a rhino. For me, I'm doing the same thing, not in a way to capture it, but in a way to preserve it. It's not my hunt.
For Wilda, there was one place she'd always wanted to go, but had never felt ready. This is a place far beyond these normal backpacking circuits. I mean, no one in their right mind would go there, let alone bring a camera.
Papua New Guinea has 850 discovered unique tribes and languages, so it's the mecca of tribal culture in the world. I had pondered on doing this trip for a good 7 years before I actually had the guts to do it. And every single time I picked up my Lonely Planet or my guidebook or did research, I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Everything I read was, first of all, don't go. Don't go, especially if you're a woman. You will get robbed, killed, maimed. Just the whole litany of horrible things that could happen to you. So it always deterred me.
After years of pondering and ultimately delaying her trip, something shifted in Wilda. So she has all these reasons to not visit this remote country. I mean, it's dangerous, she could be killed. But she found the scales had tipped. Something inside herself had shifted, and she couldn't put it off any longer.
What was different this year is that I really had a very deep desire for soul searching, and I decided to take the leap.
Did you ever think of going to a coffee shop to soul search? You know, like, it just
never
seems
occurred
a little easier.
No, it's just no, I'm not that kind of girl.
You take the leap, you get there. So tell me what it's like to land in Papua New Guinea.
It was chaotic, lots of people. And right away, I could tell there were armored vehicles all around us, barbed wire everywhere. And it looked like they were in the middle of a war zone. But just lots of people, almost no cars, just people walking bare mud, and people walking really slowly, just like this reptilian ease, but also it felt tense. That was sort of the first realization that maybe all I read was true.
So you get off a plane, you're surrounded by people that are walking with reptilian ease, which is a thing I'm going to use next time I have a restaurant. I'll be like, bussers, you're walking with reptilian ease.
No, it was really eerie. It was just, they were walking too slow. I didn't like it. I couldn't tell why. It was, just felt like a bomb was about to go off any minute and that they were privy to something I wasn't.
Ugh.
Yeah. Nuh-uh.
Ugh.
No me gusta.
Well, no me gusta también. Where do you, what was your first real experience on your own?
So, okay, I took the taxi, which was terrifying. I was looking at the man in the rearview mirror the whole time. I was like, if you move, I will jump out of this taxi or I will do something that I've never done before. Finally, I get to the Women's Mission, which is the lowest budget accommodation that I could find. I drop off my bag at the Women's Mission and I ask the lady to direct me to a market or a place where I could eat. She says, down the road, there is one. It should take you a few minutes to walk there. And I took my walk, completely forgetting that I was in Papua New Guinea. I get to the market and suddenly I hear screams and behind me I see men coming in with guns. They jumped over the register and started beating up the local guards. I'm hiding behind some racks with grown men. And I'll say it, when I saw their fear, I was petrified. I was like, this is where it ends. I've traveled all this way to die in a freaking supermarket.
Listening to Wilda describe arriving in this country and immediately stumbling into a holdup, I mean, this is bananas. I can't even wrap my mind around how dangerous this situation is. I think that's mostly because Wilda kind of describes this as though she's rattling off things on a shopping list. It's kind of right around here that I really realize what a badass Wilda is.
About 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, I can't really tell, but we all stampede out, jump over some fire that they had set outside the entrance, and I ran for my life back to the dorms.
Wow. But you didn't run to the airport. You ran back to your dorms. I would run past the airport. I would make like a water takeoff. I'd be going so fast. I feel like you could skip my body to the nearest country that is not Papua New Guinea. Rather than going to the airport, you go back to your domicile.
Yes.
Why?
I believe me, that's what I sat for hours wondering myself. Mm. What now? What am I doing? Why have I done this? Will I stay? The reason why I went, it's sort of something I'm probably still trying to understand. But the reason why I stayed was very clear. I knew deep in me that that's exactly where I needed to be. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this as a warning. Proceed with caution.
Yeah, you know, I feel like you got your lightning strike out of the way. It couldn't possibly get any worse, right? You got it out of the way on the first day. Congrats.
Right, but that's not really how the story goes.
What do you mean?
About 2 weeks later, I was in the city of Hagen. This is the second most dangerous city in Papua New Guinea. And election time was on. I had heard that usually it instigates violence. There are riots going on when I arrive in Hagen. I see grown men and also teenagers running down the main streets with spears and machetes. The police are trying to corral this by shooting at them and also throwing tear gas. So that was happening right in front of my guest house, and I just wasn't feeling safe.
So Wilda decides to leave town for the day, but as we've discussed, nothing's that simple. She's on a bus. On the way back, she and her fellow passengers find out that a local man has been killed, and the people from his tribe are looking for who killed him. The tribespeople have set up roadblocks, and they're stopping vehicles and questioning people, and the situation is looking pretty hairy.
We heard that they were doing the roadblocks around midnight, so we waited until 5 in the morning to take the road. The roads are terrible. The buses have to go really, really slowly, and those are specific roadblock points. So we came upon one of those, at which point we started hearing a commotion. And we were listening to music, and suddenly the music just stopped. And that was really freaky. Lots of tribe men, really angry tribe men, were surrounding the bus. The first thing that I noticed was that people in the bus started praying. And that frightened me, because you have this chanting of, like, you know, Papa God, help me get through this. And I could tell how real this moment was.
So how many guys are there?
I'd say a good 30 men with machetes and just full of anger. I'd never seen men that angry before in my life. And one of those guys in particular decided to take our bus driver and beat him up. He took the machete and cut off the entire rearview mirror, like the entire metal portion of the rearview mirror, just with one swing. On the other side of the bus, they were trying to open the doors, and our bus crew was, you know, trying to, like, hold the bus door closed. The crazy man that had already taken out and beat up my driver decided to start breaking all the glasses. And he was one by one hitting all the glasses and shattering the glass of the bus. I just never seen anger like that. Like, he had lost all his humanity. I was able to just take a quick look at him when he got to my window. I was sitting right by the window. And I just closed my eyes and went, like, you know, just huddled myself and
prepared for impact.
Exactly. I thought I was dead.
Wow.
And you just, like, kind of black out for a second.
So you're looking up and you see a machete and it's about to come crashing down. It's like you just accidentally hit Control Alt Delete. This is the blue screen.
Exactly. And just really realizing that life and death are just like a flicker away. Why did I stay? It was the only time in my life that I was really horrified, that I really thought, this is too close.
Next time on Defining Moments, we'll find out what happens after Wilda looks death in the eye and realizes it's a little too close for comfort.
This podcast was created by Guardian Labs US and paid for by Principal. Produced by Carrie Budge and Devin Taylor. Presented by me, Justin Warner. Sound designed by Pascal Wise. The executive producer was Alana Chance, and the series editor was Sachin Chanalikar. How would you like to be on a Defining Moment podcast? Enter our contest by sharing your moment at theguardian.com/definingmoment. One winner will be featured on a future podcast episode and receive $500 for the charity of their choice. The deadline to enter is July 6th.